So we are here in Chiang Mai, and I have the opportunity today to be the host, to invite Hasir Priya Prabhu to say a few words or many words, because my experience of the recent several months over the last couple of years or so is we have been going to many places and devotees are always introducing me and saying, please you say something. But we are very happy to be here in Chiang Mai, and in Chiang Mai we are here to receive association and to share association. And happily we've got with us a VIP guest, and Hasir Priya Prabhu, really he's a treasure house of so many stories when we are walking, when we are with each other, when he's with other devotees, when he's with Srila Goswami Maharaj, we are sharing so many stories, hearing so many stories. And so it is an opportunity for you to hear from him, to hear something of the glories of our gurus and of devotional service through the eyes of a long time devotee, even though he looks so young. Long time devotee. And it's not only your opportunity to hear from him, it is also my opportunity. And so I'm inviting Hasir Priya Prabhu to give as much of this evening's class association to you all as possible, because tomorrow he is heading onwards, mm-hmm. I believe,
yes,
back to Bangkok on his way back to the Californian ashram, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Ashram.
Seva Ashram.
Oh, Seva Ashram, very important, the Seva part. Seva Ashram near Santa Cruz, Soquel, California. So he's heading back tomorrow, so today is our last chance to hear from him. And you are hearing from me every day. We are reading something, discussing something, and asking questions. So Hasir Priya Prabhu, please.
Jai.
I hand the microphone over to you, and I am here to listen. I'm all ears to listen as well, on whatever subject you like.
Okay. Om Gyana Tirmandasya Ginangana Shalakaya Chaksuram Militam Jnana Tajma Shri Gurave Namaha. I was asking Madhusud Maharaj earlier, how many devotees here have had the opportunity to meet Srila Govinda Maharaj when he was alive, having his pastimes on this earth? Anybody here?
Put up your hand if you met Srila Govinda Maharaj.
And online? You put up your hand online?
How many people online?
I was very, very fortunate to have Srila Govinda Maharaj's association in Soquel and in India, and traveling on his world tours. The grand opening of the temple in Petersburg, and then again in Moscow, and so many different places around the world. And I feel that this was such a blessing for my life to be able to have that association, and to have the association of all the Vaishnavas around the world, meeting them, them coming to serve Govinda Maharaj, them coming to serve the devotees. And so tonight I was thinking maybe I would tell a story of Srila Govinda Maharaj that we heard from Govinda Maharaj, and over the years he retold this story. It was one of his favorite stories to tell.
Now I'm wondering which story it's going to be. You should write on a piece of paper and see who gets the answer.
We're talking last night about disturbances coming to our mission and to the devotees. And sometimes Krishna is arranging these disturbances. He's happy to be glorified and honored But he's more happy when his devotees are honored. And so sometimes these disturbances come, and from that disturbance, the glories of his devotees emerge, and they're seen by everyone. And so this is one of Krishna's pleasures, to hear to see the glories of his devotees and to hear the glories of his devotees. So Govinda Maharaj spoke about this incident that happened many years ago, 1969, in Navadvip. And we know that Srila Bhakti Rakak Shridhardev Goswami Maharaj started the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat in 1941, right? 41?
Yes.
41. And then Srila Bhaktisundara Govindadeva Goswami Maharaj came to his lotus feet in 1947, I believe. You think?
Yes.
That's right.
I think Guru Maharaj actually moved in on the Rath Yatra day of 1942.
42.
That the land was purchased in 41. And then 47?
So during those years, Govinda Maharaj was under the shelter of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and things were going on. Always some, you know, difficulties, as normal. But then, in the 1960s, in West Bengal, the government was changed, and new elected government was a communist government. And the communists, of course, they're atheists. They were followers of Marxist-Lenin, and so they were atheists. And naturally, their enemies were the spiritualists. So the temples were the natural enemies of the Communist Party. And so there was some attempt, a successful attempt by the communist government to pass some law that would redistribute the land in West Bengal to away from the land owners, the big land owners, and to the peasants. This was the stated purpose. It didn't work that way. It was more like an attempt to steal the land from somebody and sell it to somebody else and make money, but that was their stated attempt. So at that time, they went after the Mat's land. And there was some complicated formula that the government had written into their law that a person could only own a certain amount of land. And then if you had more than that, you had to give it to the government, and the government would so-called redistribute it to the people. So that was, it was a small amount of land. It was like 6 acres, or I think 2.5 hectares. And of course the land at the Mat was much more land than that. And not only that, but previously there was even more land at the Mat, but Srila Guru Maharaj had sold some of that land. So the government came to them, to Srila Sridhar Maharaj and to the devotees, and said, you know, you have to give all of your land over this certain quota to the government, because this is the law. You're one person and you can only own so much. And so you have to give that land to the government. And then he said, and retroactively, because you sold that other land, you owe even more land. And so, in effect, you have to give everything to the government. So they wanted to take all the land from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, from the Mat, and steal it, give it to the government. And so this was, West Bengal, the West Bengal government. It was a heavy time. These were heavy people. It wasn't like we were talking earlier about, in the United States we have some legal groups who voluntarily give their support for nonprofits or people who are in some distressful condition, they help them with their legal cases. There was nothing like that in West Bengal at the time. And so it was up to Srila Govindamaraj to try to argue with these government officials to explain that, no, this is not Srila Sridhar Maharaj's land. This is the land of Shishi Guru Granga Gandharva Govinda Sundar, the deities. And the deities own all this land. Of course, they were atheists. The government officials were atheists. They wouldn't accept that argument. No, it's deity can't own land. It has to be. It's only one owner, and that's Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And by our calculation, he owes us all his land. So, you know, we're taking it forcefully. So Govinda Maharaj explained in one talk he gave that this was one of the heaviest times in his life, that he was so distressed thinking, oh, the whole Mat will be lost. Everything will be, all this land, everything that Guru Maharaj has will be taken away. And he was going, and Hari Charan Prabhu was with him, and they would go to Kalna, like, you know, every week to argue with the government officials and make their argument that, no, the land was owned by the deity. So finally, none of those arguments were accepted, and there was some ultimatum. And then Guru Maharaj said to Govinda Maharaj, he said, I have somebody who's very favorable to me, and he is a retired lawyer. And not only a lawyer, but he was a teacher. And so many lawyers who are there in West Bengal and even in the Supreme Court were his students, and he was like their guru. Why don't you go to him and see if he can help? His name was Jayanta Babu, I called him, Jayanta Babu. So Govinda Maharaj talks about that. He said he was in such a distressful condition, he couldn't even get out of bed. He was just like, he said, fainted, stunned. He couldn't move because he was thinking everything will be taken away from Guru Maharaj, and there was nothing he could do to help. But Govinda Maharaj, dedication to Srila Guru Maharaj, anything Guru Maharaj asked for, then he was very conscientious to follow that instruction. And so even though he was in such a stressful condition, he sent Hari Charan Prabhu. He said, you know, go see this man and just see if there's any prospect. So Hari Charan went there, and the man heard, oh, Srila Sridhar Maharaj has sent somebody to see me. And so he immediately had Hari Charan come in. He said, told him how much he respected Srila Sridhar Maharaj and come in. And Hari Charan gave a brief synopsis of the situation. And then Jayanta Babu said, well, you come tomorrow with all your papers and present everything to me so I know what's going on. So then Hari Charan went back, told Govinda Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj got, you know, enlivened and re-energized, and the next day went there to Jayanta Babu's place, presented all the documents, because they had so many documents now, because he was going to court all the time arguing these things, and presented everything to the lawyer friend of Guru Maharaj. And then Jayanta Babu said, give me a few days. And then in a few days, he wrote this really heavy letter to the government of West Bengal, because what they were saying, the government of West Bengal was saying that the deity can't own the land. That's against the law in India. In India, the deity can own the land. And it's not a new law. That went on for years and years, an ancient law. And there were so many cases in the legal system in India of the deity owning the land. And so Jayanta Babu wrote this rebuttal to the government and quoted all these cases as a justification for his position, and their position was the deities own the land, not just a man, not just a person, but the deities own the land. And so then Govinda Maharaj went to Kalna again to meet with the government officials, presented this letter, and this man was very well known. And when they heard that this man had written this letter, then they paid attention. Then they gave some serious consideration because he was so well known. And all the lawyers, you know, considered him like their superior, their spiritual, their teacher, their legal guru, and had so much respect for him. So they had to pay attention. So then after a few days, they said to Govinda Maharaj, well, come back after a few days, we'll consider this petition. So after a few days, he came back. He said, yes, we've considered it. It's true what he said. The deities can own the land. And so they accepted that legal premise. But, they said, still, there's only three deities. There's only two deities. There's Mahaprabhu and there's Radha and Krishna. And under this law, Radha and Krishna are considered a married couple and only considered one owner. Mahaprabhu is another owner. And then Govinda Maharaj argued, and then Guru Maharaj is an owner. So they said, okay, three owners, but still that's not enough. You have to give us some land. It's not enough land to cover the whole thing. So Govinda Maharaj went back, consulted with Guru Maharaj. They came up with a strategy. Govinda Maharaj went back to court, stood up and said, now you're accepted this position that the deities are the owners of the land, of the Mat's land, and but you've made this wrong assumption. Your assumption is that Radha and Krishna are married, but they're not married. They're paramour lovers. They're actually different families. Radharani has her family, Krishna has. So in that way, there's Mahaprabhu, one owner. There's Krishna, second owner. There's Radharani, third owner. And there's Guru Maharaj, four owners. So with four owners, then all the land was protected under that quota system. So they said, okay, we'll consider that. So they had to come back again, and they said, yes, we've considered it. What you said is true, because even there were court cases in India that substantiated, yes, Radha and Krishna were different families. So then they said, okay, we accept your position and all the land. We've taken off all of our restrictions on your land, and it's all back to the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math. And so in that way, the land was protected. Guru Maharaj, Srila Govinda Maharaj, very enthusiastically told that story about getting up and making that argument. No, Radha and Krishna are not married. Radha and Krishna are paramour lovers, and therefore two families. So like this, many wonderful stories about Govinda Maharaj and the quality of his devotion, the quality of his dedication to his spiritual master, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and his faith. He often talked about how that he was trained by Guru Maharaj to see through the eyes of Shastra. So not just to see something in front of you, but to understand what is the Shastra saying on those subjects, and to have that faith in the words of Shastra. Another story that brings out that point was one time Govinda Maharaj was bathing in the Ganga, and he had a kavacha. Is that how you pronounce it? Kavacha.
Yes.
Like a bracelet around his arm that had some different things attached to it, significant spiritual a paraphernalia?
An amulet.
Amulet, right. And so he was there in the Ganga, and that kavacha fell off his arm into the Ganga. And where they were, the current was very strong, and immediately it disappeared, taken by the current. So Govinda Maharaj told later, he said, so I was taught by Guru Maharaj to see through the eyes of Shastra. And so in the eyes of Shastra, Ganga Devi is alive, is a personality. And so he prayed, Ganga Devi, what you've done is very wrong. This was given to me by Guru Maharaj for my service. Now you've done something wrong. You must give that back. So he said, so, you know, in a mundane sense, we might just see that the Ganga is a river that's flowing with water and everything. But in his faith and his instructions from his faith in his instructions from Srila Sri Maharaj, he saw, no, not as the Ganga is not just a river. The Ganga is a divine personality. And so then he chastised that personality. Guru Maharaj gave me this for my service. Now you've taken it away. You've done something wrong. Give it back. So then there was a number of devotees with him. They were all looking, you know, in the water and then moving down the river a little bit because the current is going down and thinking, well, maybe it's down there. And so then all of a sudden, Govinda Maharaj feels something hit his foot. And there is the amulet in the water. Ganga Devi gave it back to him. And he took it out of the water.
And we were there that time. It was just before Gurudev was going on one of the world tours.
Uh-huh.
Not the very last, but not the very first. It was somewhere in the middle. He was just going to go the next day or two or three days later. And Gurudev, he himself said, oh, I will go to the Ganges once before going. And we went down to the Manipur Ghat. And we went down there. And it was all very sort of spontaneous. And we went there and Gurudev went in the water. Everybody went in the water. And also, some local people right there, mm-hmm. they came running with like a chair for him to sit on. And everybody could understand that Gurudev is a special personality there. It's not like just anybody's coming down to the Ganges,
uh-huh.
but the people were very respectful and very sweet and wonderful pastime, wonderful day.
And if I can tell one more story, this we were all, many of us were just in Vrindavan, and Madhusudan Maharaj told me this story of the dead phone speaking.
Oh, yes.
And in Navadvip, this was, middle 90s, mid 90s. And of course, at that time, there was no internet. There was no mobile phones. It was just landlines. And landlines in India were not very reliable. And in Navadvip were completely unreliable. You know, the further you got away from the big cities, the less reliable they were. And so it was, most of the communication between the devotees and Govinda Maharaj at that time were with letters. We would write Govinda Maharaj a letter, and Govinda Maharaj would write us back a letter. And it might take, I don't know, up to a month, you know, for our letter to get to him, for him to write a response, for him a letter to... So it wasn't like, you know, pick up the phone, the mobile phone, and like within seconds you're connected. It took some time. Anyway, so Madhusudan Maharaj was there, my wife was there, Sharanangi, I think Jagadananda Prabhu, somebody else, I'm not sure who else, a few devotees in Navadvipa with Govinda Maharaj. And the phone was broken. The landline was broken for many days. There was no dial tone, nothing, no ringing, nothing. And out of periodically, Govinda Maharaj would pick up the phone to see, is there a dial tone? Is it working yet? And then no dial tone, just put it back down. And then and this went on for some time. And then one time he picked it up. And there's somebody speaking on the phone. And it was Krishna Vallabha Prabhu from Vrindavan. And Krishna Vallabha Prabhu was a Brijbasi who lived in Vrindavan, very senior Vaishnav, respected Vaishnav. You know, maybe you know his son Mahesh, who has that shop in Lohi Bazaar, sells clothing and everything. That's his son. And his grandsons, the two sons of Mahesh, they run that shop now. Anyway, his father, Mahesh's father, Krishna Vallabha Prabhu, was on the phone. Govinda Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj. And Govinda Maharaj is, yes, yes, Govinda Maharaj. And then he's saying, that land is available. That land next to Rupa Goswami's Radha Damodar temple is available. It's been, you know, tied up in litigation for such a long time. And now, finally, that litigation is over and the land is available and everybody wants to buy it. But we want you to have that land because you will take care of it spiritually. It will be honored properly if you have that land. And so so Govinda Maharaj is talking to him and, you know, they're trying to work out some details of the money and when is it going to happen? It has to happen right now because others are lined up waiting to buy that land. And they're offering more than what it's worth because it has such prestige, that property, right, adjacent to Rupa Goswami's property. And so you have to come immediately. And Govinda Maharaj saying, I can't come. Then send your man. Something has to be done right now. And so then finally some details are worked out. And Govinda Maharaj hangs up the phone. And he picks it up again. It's dead. And Govinda Maharaj is like astonished. The phone was dead before. He picked it up. There's Krishna Vallabha Prabhu speaking to him from Vrindavan. Puts the phone down, picks it up again. Now it's dead again. So just for those few minutes, some transcendental, divine transmission overrode the faulty landline and delivered that message to Govinda Maharaj. And of course, Govinda Maharaj then dispatched Purnananda Prabhu to Vrindavan with all the documents and everything ready, and, you know, to sign everything. And he went there immediately, and then the land was transferred to Govinda Maharaj. And of course, then he went and built the temple and the guest house and then the altar and the deities. And now we're going there taking darshan there, the deities of Vrindavan, and taking shelter of that that holy place that came to Srila Govinda Maharaj in this miraculous way.
And that phone was dead for another 2 or 3 days. It's not that later on that day it came back. It was another 2, 3, 4, I don't know, but it was a few more days before it, again, there was a dial tone and it was functioning.
Well, like this, with Govinda Maharaj, there was always some miraculous things that would happen around him. It was not these unexpected things became normal, and you know, Govinda Maharaj had that quality. And I remember once we were in Calcutta, and Mother Teresa had just passed away, and there was some news broadcasts on the TV, and they were talking about she should become a saint. Of course, just recently, just I think this last year, the Catholic Church canonized her. She became Saint Teresa. But at that time, they were saying, oh, she was such a saintly person. The Catholic Church should, you know, make her a saint. At that time, the requirement was that there would be four miracles ascribed to her, ascribed to anybody, before that person could be accepted as a saint. Govinda Maharaj heard that news broadcast, and he said, four miracles? And he started listing off all the miracles in his life. Got to five, six, seven. No problem, four miracles. So like that, it's very, these personalities who have come here to help us in our spiritual life, we cannot understand who they are, what the quality of their spiritual position is. We're just, in awe and so thankful that they have come here to help us, give us assistance. And that because Govinda Maharaj is no longer present before our eyes, doesn't mean that he's not here to help us. And that help is there. We hear so many stories in the scriptures of the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Vishnu coming to help some soul, Ajamil, time of death. He was saying the name of his son, Narayan, but he was like a sinful man, and then the Yamadutas wanted to take him to Yamaraj and punish him, and the Vishnu Dutas goes, no, wait a minute. He said the name of Narayan at the time of death. So the Vishnu Dutas interceded to help him. So in that way, there's some help that's coming from above in our spiritual life to give us guidance, to give us assistance. And we heard from Srila Prabhupada that when one becomes a devotee, our karma is we no longer are operating under the laws of karma. There may be some sinful reactions that we have to suffer, but it isn't a karmic reaction, it's a mercy reaction. It's Krishna's mercy coming to us to help us in our purification, to give up those last vestiges of our attachments to the material world. And so it's not, karma, we can understand an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's not like that. It's mercy. And that mercy, sometimes Krishna is sending in, we're getting some painful situation, but it's a merciful situation. It's not a karmic situation. And so like that in our spiritual life, there's help all around us from our God brothers, our God sisters, our senior devotees. And there's also help from above that we cannot see. Srila Guru Maharaj gave that term, unseen guardians. Is that the term he used?
Yes.
Unseen guardians.
And hidden guardians.
And hidden guardians, yeah. That they're there to, and from by their mercy, they're helping us in our spiritual life. And so we're very fortunate to be part of this family and to have friends in such high places that can help us and protect us in our spiritual life. Jai. Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai.
Srila Bhakti Rakakshidhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki
Jai.
Jai. Any questions, or Maharaj, would you like to say something?
Yes, I can say, please say more.
Any questions anybody has?
As soon as you mentioned miracles,
yes.
There was another story, so may we just
kindly... Can you speak a little louder?
May we kindly ask you to tell the story about them? Lord Shiva's medicine.
Lord Shiva's medicine. Beautiful story. Govinda Maharaj tells this story that he was in Calcutta. Guru Maharaj was in Navadvip. Guru Maharaj's health was very fragile. And Govinda Maharaj would leave Navadvip to go back to Calcutta, and then Srila Sridhar Maharaj would call him, tell him to come back. Maybe even Govinda Maharaj was like at the platform of the train station to get on the plane. And then Guru Maharaj would send a devotee, tell Govinda Maharaj, come back, I need him. Some difficulty with my health. So Govinda Maharaj would come back. And so Guru Maharaj's health was very precarious for a long time. And of course, there's so many doctors were treating him, but still his health deteriorated. And finally, Govinda Maharaj had to leave. He had to go back to Calcutta to do some things there. And he got to Calcutta, and then that evening, early in the evening, he got a phone call from Haricharan Prabhu. He said, Govinda Maharaj, you have to come back immediately. Guru Maharaj's health is very poor. We can't even find a pulse anymore. This could be his final moments in this plane. And very serious, very serious. And Haricharan Prabhu was very emphatic that Govinda Maharaj come back immediately. Govinda Maharaj heard this. He said, okay, let me just bathe and take care of it, and I'll come immediately. So Govinda Maharaj went to take bath, and he's praying, very, very, you know, his heart is breaking, you know, very serious situation. Guru Maharaj at any moment could leave this planet, and he's praying to Lord Shiva. And he's saying, Lord Shiva, you say that I am your son. That's what they say, that I am your son. And you are the God of all medicine. Please send the medicine that will help Srila Guru Maharaj. And he's praying like that to Lord Shiva. And we know that Govinda Maharaj has so much faith in the in Krishna, in Krishna's activities, Krishna's paraphernalia, and Krishna's expansions. And so he's praying like that, heartfelt prayer to Lord Shiva, please help Guru Maharaj. And so the water's running, and he's taking his bath, and then he hears some voice. And that voice says the name of a medicine. And then he thinks, did I hear it right? And he turns off the water. So, say it again, because I'm not sure if I heard it correctly. And then the voice says the name again. You know that name?
Kalifos. Kalifos.
Kalifos. Kalifos is the name of the medicine that Lord Shiva told to Govinda Maharaj. This was the medicine for Guru Maharaj. So then Govinda Maharaj hears that. He immediately contacts Haricharan, tells him, this is the medicine. It's come from Lord Shiva. Give Guru Maharaj this medicine. Govinda Maharaj knew a lot about medicine, homeopathy, and he knew what doses to give and, you know, different ways to administer it. He said, do this, give it this much, and then another hour this much, and, you know, gave a prescription of how to administer this medicine to Guru Maharaj. And I'm coming immediately. And so Haricharan says, yes, come immediately, because Guru Maharaj's health is very, very bad. And so then Govinda Maharaj finally gets on the train, gets to Navadvip, gets to the Mat. He comes into the mat, and there's Guru Maharaj sitting up, taking prasadam, in good mood and happy, and his health is completely restored. Still some difficulty, but, you know, not on death's bed anymore. And Govinda Maharaj is like so happy, and then he asks Guru Maharaj, what happened? He said, your medicine from Lord Shiva saved my life. And so then that was, you know, how Lord Shiva gave that special prescription to Govinda Maharaj. Govinda Maharaj gave that information to Hari Taran Prabhu, and then they administered that medicine to Srila Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj's health was recovered. But what happened was, Guru Maharaj said, now my doctor is Govinda Maharaj. I won't listen to any other doctors. And then Govinda Maharaj said, oh, this is going to be a problem because I'm not here all the time. And so then this very famous doctor in Navadvip came to see Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj said, no, Govinda Maharaj is my doctor now. And so the man was totally insulted. You know, why did you even ask me to come? You know, he said, I didn't ask you to come. Hari Taran asked you to come. I never asked you to come. And so then Govinda Maharaj had to, like, you know, diplomatically pacify the man, the doctor, because he knew that this doctor, he could diagnose what the ailments were with Guru Maharaj. He was very good at diagnosing things. He may not understand the proper medicine, but he knew that he could diagnose those ailments. And so then he, you know, diplomatically made some peace with the doctor, and so then he's, you know, said, okay, you know, please stay as Guru Maharaj's doctor, and I need your diagnosis, and then I might be able to help with some medicine, but you're the doctor, I'm just a student. And so in that way, some peace was made with him. But from that point on, Guru Maharaj would not take any medicine unless Govinda Maharaj approved it. The son of Lord Shiva. Bhakti Lalita wrote an article many years ago about Govinda Maharaj being the son of Lord Shiva and that story when he was born. I don't remember all the details of that story. It will come out. Yeah. Okay, I can't wait. Any other questions or comments?
There is another question. How to keep fresh eye or fresh ear in your everyday practice so it won't become a lifeless routine?
Questions for Maharaj?
No, it's for you. I have introduced you today.
Can you repeat that question again?
How to keep fresh eye or fresh ear in your everyday practice so it won't become a lifeless routine?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the mercy of the holy name. The mercy of the holy name. And our spiritual practices are very important. We, at least myself, in a very neophyte position in devotional life, practicing for many years, but really a neophyte, I'm not feeling that a spiritual connection, but in my heart I know that connection is there. I have faith in my gurus that by practicing these principles something will come. But even on a mundane level, the holy name is so powerful that it can give us relief from even mundane difficulties. What to speak of when our heart is purified and it enters into our heart, and we've heard the descriptions of the holy name dancing on our tongue, and what to speak of those things. Even in a very neophyte position, some help will come to us from the holy name and from our spiritual practices, from hearing the scriptures and So, there's no secret. This is like an open secret that our gurus have given us to do these things, and they're real. There's real benefit for us there. And without them, then yes, it's dry. And it's very difficult to have some remembrance of what that spiritual goal and spiritual aspirations are for us. So I think, chanting our rounds, hearing the scriptures, reading the scriptures, hearing classes, that those things are, and associating with devotees who are enthusiastic, that rubs off on us. We become enthusiastic. So those are important things. And that is what our temples are. They're places for those activities. And from a very brand new person to a person who's been practicing for many years, it's the same activities. And Govinda Maharaj would say that when he would give initiation and he would explain the 10 offenses to the holy name, and then he would say that the holy name will help us to get rid of those offenses from our heart. So we may be chanting offensively, we may be committing so many offenses, knowingly or unknowingly, but the holy name will actually help us to purify us from committing those offenses. So even though we may be very far away from Krishna consciousness, still the holy name will help us in our journey towards a purer service mood and heartfelt connection on that level. Maharaj, can you say something?
And be with the devotees. And whenever you hear a talk, think, what is there for me? What am I going to learn from this? What must I remember from today's talk? And try to keep that in our heart. Every time we can hear something which is either a reminder or something that is new for us, and say, yes, we must remember these, keep these in our heart. And appreciate the value of devotees. The value of devotees. Mm-hmm. The world is full of all sorts of very capable, brilliant, all kinds of people. But without devotion, their association is not substantial. You can't talk anything about God, love of God, about the gurus, about the scriptures, about these things. You can talk all sorts of other very intellectual things or interesting things, fascinating things maybe. But we want to have Hari Katha. We want to know about the Lord and about His devotees. And how do we know about the Lord? Through the devotees. Mm-hmm. And the devotees, they are giving us by their example and by their words, they're giving us so much nourishment so as to help us to keep our life in the positive, living, alive world, and take us away from the dead, stale world, which is the greatest scientists, the greatest this, that, and the other. They're analyzing this world. They're analyzing the matter side of things, the reflection. They're looking at the reflection in the mirror and trying to analyze everything instead of searching out the origin of what is being reflected. So the devotees are our real friends, and the opportunity like this to hear from the devotees. And in these last 4 days, we've got the presence here, the holy association of Sri Padhasya Priya Prabhu, of Srila Bhakti Bimala Avadhut Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj, you have Bhakti Lalita Devidasi here, and you have so many devotees in this community here. I don't know, maybe 40 devotees, maybe more. I do not know how many devotees, but in the world here, you also have a super opportunity. And by this electronic stuff around the world, then we're also sharing with devotees. We know that you are there.
on the other side in your homes, on the other side of the camera, etc. And this is also using the facilities so that instead of turning on the TV and watching all sorts of other things, it's very similar. You're turning on the live stream and watching the discourses of the devotees. So these things we should appreciate. We have so much. And we should never think what we don't have. We should think what we do have. And we do have good association, the opportunity of good association all around the world. And if we search for that, and when we have that association, are able to make some contact with that, and try to always feel what is there for me to learn and improve by hearing these advices from the devotees. And we were saying that it's been feeling like a festival here in Chiang Mai with Avadhut Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, Hasif Prabhu and the devotees here.
Every day is a festival.
And not only the old devotees, the new devotees, Nityanand Prabhu here. We are very happy to see him here. And he is a very capable translator in Russia. Maharaj. Very kind and capable.
Someone asked Prabhupada once, you know, suppose it's all, suppose it's not true about Krishna. Suppose it's all like, you know, just a made up story. And he said, well, but isn't this a wonderful way to live anyway? living with the devotees is wonderful. And it is a festival every day. And we take prasadam. Prasadam is, you know, so wonderful. And being with devotees, what devotees have our interest at heart. And being with non-devotees, they have self-interest at heart. This is a big difference. You know? And even though superficially there may be some friendliness, but ultimately, there's our selfish nature is there in the mundane world everywhere, but in the association of devotees, when that affection comes to us, then we're inspired to also be selfless and affectionate to the devotees. So this is a very big difference between associating with devotees and associating with non-devotees. And many nice people and, you know, fair people and things like that. But ultimately, we're all here in the material world because of our selfish nature. We chose to come here because we wanted to be a competitor of Krishna. We didn't want to be a servant. We wanted to be a competitor. We want to enjoy. We want to... you know, the opulence, the beauty. We want that for ourselves. And so we're all bitten by that snake of selfishness. But when we come to devotional service, then we see by the example of our acharyas the selfless nature of their activities. And actually, in that way, we can really learn what it means to love one another. Because selfishness and love are kind of opposed to one another. But selflessness and love, if we are want to help one another, want to promote each other in devotional service, in devotional life, want to assist, that's a selfless mood. And if we can try to cultivate that, then that exchange is a real loving exchange. That is what real love is. Not a selfless, a selfish love, but a selfless love. And so when we come and meet these devotees, and we see, wow, this person is different than everybody else that I ever met in my whole life. There's some hope for us that maybe someday I can also become like that. Or, you know, they're giving us hope. Maybe we don't see it, it's too far away, but they're giving us hope that we follow these directions, that we will achieve that goal.
And we have the brilliant example of our wonderful Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj.
Yes.
Selflessness to the extreme, with the interest of Guru Maharaj on his head, distributing that conception, that connection, that seva connection, because he knows anybody who is coming in connection with Guru Maharaj, they are going to get the highest benefit. And so everything he's doing is distributing the glories of Guru Maharaj, distributing seva opportunity to Guru Maharaj, chanting his glories, connecting devotees to him. And Gurudev, also you see, past the retiring age, past all the things in the normal world where people will be giving so much energy in their age, in their latter part of life, if you like, but giving all his energy, everything, selflessly. We saw always. And actually that is our charger. Our charger is one who teaches by example. Mm-hmm. And he was 24 hours a day, visible, open book,
right,
personality, selflessness. And in this world, even, I don't know whether now, must be now also, but always everyone, the music, the pop music and everything, oh, it's always about love, 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 love. But it is very shallow thing of this world. But shallow thing of this world, the regular love. But it's showing you how that the heart is hankering for this kind of romance, something special, which there more than, you know, just physical shelter, etc., etc. And that inner hankering is only going to be satisfied in connection with the Vaishnavas, in connection with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And Gurudev was that example, mm-hmm, giving that, he's living that relationship with Guru Maharaj, exclusively to Guru Maharaj. And of course then to all of the Vaishnavas, but by having his head at Guru Maharaj's lotus feet, then that focus for is giving the nourishment everywhere. It's like when you serve Krishna, everything is automatically served. When you serve to Guru Maharaj, with that faith, Gurudev is serving Guru Maharaj all the while. That by serving him, everything is fulfilled. And this way, everybody who has got any connection in service to him, then Gurudev would say that, I can never forget their service, mm-hmm, and I am indebted to them, I shall never leave them. And we have many examples like that in our own time and in the pastimes that Gurudev has spoken about, including the pastimes we've heard this morning, this evening. When Haricharan Prabhu helped so much in that very difficult situation, mm-hmm, of the mat. Later on, in the later life, Srila Govinda Maharaj always saying, I can never forget what he has done, right, what he has done. I cannot leave him. I can never leave him this way.
Right.
Appreciating everything. So we shall miss you, Hasipre Prabhu.
And I shall miss you, everybody.
We express our gratitude for your sharing some of these topics with us and allowing us to hear. And actually, I know you can say so much more. For many years, he's been in a leadership position for the book distribution, for the management of the devotees, management of different places, and all the way through. And now, for the last several years, many years, managing the SoCal
Californian Seva Ashram, which is also in the countryside, side of a hill, beautiful area. And they have a Chinese tractor called Vijay.
Vijay.
To help to help keep the orchard and all the area. It is countryside area, you know it also.
Govinda Maharaj gave that name to our tractor. And we got the tractor. I sent a picture to Govinda Maharaj. And Junard Maharaj was there with Govinda Maharaj in Calcutta at the time. And I said to Junard Maharaj, can you ask Govinda Maharaj if he'll give a name to the tractor? And Govinda Maharaj was so happy to do that. So he gave the name Vijay, Victory.
Then when I went to California, I saw that tractor. They've painted eyes on the front side, like in Calcutta, in Bengal, they paint eyes on the front of the truck. Right. And you ask why? It's because the driver can't actually see exactly where the corner of the truck is. So they put eyes there so the truck can see. Go there and the tractor's got eyes on, he's got his name Vijay. But you know, Gurudev, he named the tractor Vijay, but he never named his car.
Uh-huh.
He had the Ambassador, he had the Padmini, and then the Jeep, and then the Toyota.
Presently. Maybe no one ever asked him.
Well, I didn't ask him. It didn't even come in my mind, I have to say. Hare Krishna.
Jai. Jai Srila Govinda Maharaj ki jai.
Jai.
Jai Srila Shira Maharaj ki jai.
Jai.
Jai Shri Giri Govardhan ki jai.
Jai.
Giri Raj Govardhan ki jai. Jai. Jai all the assembled devotees. Shripad Madhusudan Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Gaur Premananda.
Hare Hare Bol. Jai Shripad Hasya Priya Prabhu ki jai. Then would you like to lead Hare Haraya Nama Krishna?
No, what a... Somebody else.
Okay. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana.
Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana.
Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohana.
Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohana.
Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra.
Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra.
Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhata Raghunatha. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunatha. Hey Chai Gosai Kori Charana Vandana. Jaha hoite vigna nasha bhishta purana. Echai gosai ja muitara dasa. Tasavara pada renu mora pancha grasa. Charan Sevi Bhakta Sanivasa. Janame Janame Mora Ea Vilasa. E Chai Gosai Jabe Brache Koilabasa. Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korila Prakasha. Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavana. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pare Machaya Mana. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Kore Asha. Hari Nam Sankirtana Kohe Narottama Dasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nittai Gaura Hari Bol. Nittai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Nittai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Jai Shri Giri Raj Govardhanju ki Jai, Jai Vishnu Parchila Bhakti Sunda Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj ki Jai, Jai Vishnu Parchila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj ki Jai, Jai Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada ki Jai, Jai Shri Rupanuga Guru Vaga ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Jai, Shri Panchatattva ki Jai, Shri Sarva Goswami ki Jai, Jai Shri Navadvip Dham ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki Jai, Shri Purushottam Dham ki Jai, Jai Navadvip Saparika Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Gandhava Govinda Sundar Ju ki Jai, Jai Shri Chaitanya Sarasat Mat ki Jai, Jai Shri Chaitanya Sarasat Acharya Vrinda ki Jai, Jai Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki Jai, Jai Shri Varhasi Priya Prabhu ki Jai, Jai Shri Bhakti Bhimala Vadut Maharaj ki Jai, Jai Shri Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj ki Jai, Shri Chaitanya Sarasat Mata Charja Brinda ki Jai, all the assembled devotees ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.